The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith, and he is, of course, the King of the Cocks. COVID Jesus, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. What's up, brother?
Nothing much. How you doing over there, Davey?
Well, as you may see, I am not in my usual location. It looks like I got the COVID.
Dave, can I just say I support your decision to leave your family?
Yeah.
You don't have to pretend like it was Corona, but whatever happened, it's okay. I don't fault you. You can leave them clean. I support the decision. We can get back on the road lining up gigs. It's all right.
They go, we could hang so much more now.
I didn't like the Christian conservative branding as it was. I'm okay with you can just head up and leave and I will be your friend.
Guys, I've been thinking about it. All that stuff I've been talking about over the last few years about like family and all this. It's pretty lame.
Rob was right.
Yeah. Rob, turns out Rob was the one who had the answers all this time, not me. So I'm over at I'm over at my mother-in-law's because she's, you know, the way her house is set up, it's like she's got like on the top floor, there's like a bathroom and a guest room. Well, it's a room for her grandkids. So I'm just staying hilariously in this like little kid room. It's really something. So I was
take the boat, Dave.
Yeah, right. So I was at home the other day, and like on the bottom floor of my house is like my office, and so I was just staying down there because I started feeling like a little sniffles and stuff. So I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to come around. Really, really, the concern is my son, who, you know, as people know, has dealt with some pretty major health issues this year. The doctors don't want him to get sick through the winter, like with anything, a cold or whatever. So I'm being very paranoid about that. So I have the sniffles. I was staying downstairs in my office, and I got my 3-year-old, who I basically had to like sneak into the house and not make any noise, because if she hears that I'm there, she'll lose her mind that I can't just be home and then not come upstairs. You know what I mean? She'd lose her mind. And so this has been the hardest part of it by far, is just being down there quiet and hearing my kids upstairs and not being able to go up. And so my wife, like,
they talk shit about you at all, especially the baby. I hope he doesn't come back.
It's because whatever. Never really felt like I had a dad anyway. Like, you were 3 months old. Stop it. So I'm downstairs. My wife brings me like, you know, snacks and like waters and stuff down to the bottom of the stairs, and then I come get it. So I'm here. I'm in this single room. Just, it's trashed immediately because I'm a slob. So I'm just down there, just living alone in a single room, listening to the voices of my family upstairs. Like it felt like I was right back to being like a single guy, but I was haunted by the voices of the family that I could have had. Like it was like a Ghost from Christmas Future type situation. And anyway, yeah, it's just, so basically, so we went out, we were in Boston, and we had great shows out there in Boston, Rob, so much fun. Of course, we did the live podcast from out there, had some stand-up shows, great time in Boston in their last days of freedom. Then I hopped on a plane, I went out to Arizona, and I was at the Libertarian Party of Arizona's state convention. Phenomenal time. It was just unbelievable weekend. Everything was great. The Mises Caucus swept every single position. Just another state that we've, you know, taken the reins in. Then I gave a keynote speech at the convention. Went great. Everything, just phenomenal reception. Everybody I met was cool. And then at the end of the week, I did a stand-up show. Also went great. Just an unbelievable weekend. So anyway, I come home and I just started noticing I got the sniffles a little bit. Got a little bit of a runny nose. And, you know, probably any other time in life, I never would have even thought about it. But, you know, knowing the Omicron shit's going around, I was like, oh, maybe that's a... you know, be careful. I won't go around the kids for a little bit. And then it just didn't go away. And then I started feeling a little like, I don't know, a little cloudy headed, maybe low grade fever. I'm not sure. I haven't been taking my temperature, but really very, very mild symptoms, but it's not going away. And I don't really get sick. So it's something, like I have something. Then I just today found out, I was like, oh shit, you know what? I should call Jeremy Todd. I was hanging out with him all weekend in Arizona as he brought me out there and he was driving me around the whole time. And he was like, oh yeah, dude, I just posted on Twitter, but I was going to tell you, I just tested positive today. So my guess is,
so it's Jeremy's fault.
Yeah. So
don't trust fault. Him.
No, I mean, who the hell knows? Honestly, who the hell knows? Right. But anyway, so yeah, I guess that's what it is. And I got this and we'll fucking see. Honestly, it's from right now, what I'm feeling, just incredibly mild symptoms. But I'm not big enough for CNN to do it, but maybe like some left libertarian podcast could take this picture and make me look sicker in it or something. I don't know. But it's very mild, but it's really, really brutal to not be able to see the family. So I'm figuring it out. I'm gonna bunker down, hunker down. What is that saying? The point is, I'm gonna beat this thing, Rob. I have a steady diet of whiskey and nicotine.
Nice.
And I was able to I have access to the greatest scientific mind on COVID. I went right to the top doctor, texted Joe Rogan.
Nice.
And I'm gonna, you know, I've access to the best medical minds that money can buy. So I'll be fine.
And who knows, maybe at the end of the week, you'll dry out and realize you didn't even like the family. So this could work out for everybody.
Just keep this going for years. Like still testing positive. I don't know. I'll do it again, but
when was the last time you spent a whole week away from it?
So, when I did Freedom Fest in South Dakota, I guess
that was just three days. Was the long-
No. I was there
for
a whole week.
Well, maybe this time we'll bring really you the clarity hard. You need.
No, but it was really, I mean, it really was hard. And this is harder. And this is harder too, because I'm like, it's kind of like indefinite. Like, I'm like, I don't know how long I'm not going to be able to see them for. And my boy's so young that it's sad. I don't want to get sad on the podcast, but it's like missing like a long stretch in a 3-month-old's life, like missing 10, 15 days is like, I don't know. It sucks. It's like a different baby. You know, when you go back, you really miss development and stuff. Anyway, most important thing here is to not get him sick. So it is what it is. And at least now I kind of do feel a little bit like, well, I got to travel a lot in the next few months. And at least now I won't have to worry about that. I won't have to quarantine and stuff. I can get it now, get over it and have strong antibodies and all that. So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a weird feeling. Cause you know, well, obviously like pretty much everybody's been thinking about this COVID shit for the last, almost 2 years now. And we've been talking about it constantly on the show. And I have not been one of these people. Like, I'm not going to just like give up living a life. I'm not going to stop doing things. I'm not going to mask up everywhere. I'm not doing this. life's too short, you know? And I've never, you know, just now, finally got it. I mean, maybe I got it and just don't know before then, but it's a weird feeling almost to be like, ah, you finally got me, you son of a bitch. But you also, well, I'm sure as most people feel when they get it, you're kind of like, all right, so this is it.
Well, I got it twice and you get better at getting it, because the second time it was like, it was nothing. I couldn't even share it with other people. I mean, there was no snot, nothing. So you get better at it.
Well, there you go. You can't even get someone else sick. Then what's the fun? You know,
that's the whole point of getting it, is at least you can spread it to other people. Maybe find some old people, you know, test how well these vaccines work.
If it call up an ex you really never liked and be like, listen, I just want to apologize.
Right. Because I got a whole bunch of exes.
I got to do it face to face.
It's in an alternate reality where I've dated.
Oh, Rob, you do pretty good. I guess you don't really date, though. But no. You do good.
Sometimes. Depends on how much we're gigging.
Rob's a very attractive man if he just crushed in front of a sold out crowd at a comedy club.
Right.
Like if he just did that, you're like, oh yeah, that guy, he's great. But any other day, like if you just walk into a deli and he's ordering a sandwich, it's like, yeah, I don't know. That guy can't afford sandwiches for me. Anyway. Yeah. But so we had, anyways, great time. Great time in Boston, great time in Arizona. And yeah, that's it. But it is interesting just seeing how much this particular variant is spreading around like crazy, and so many people are getting it, and it really does seem like I think it's very hard for them to even pretend, because the evidence, I mean, I don't mean to like appeal to anecdotal evidence, but I think this is like all over in front of everyone's eyes that like it doesn't matter if you're vaxxed or unvaxxed or up to date vaxxed or boosted or any of that. Like this shit is just spreading around to everyone. And it seems like the vast majority of people are getting, you know, pretty mild symptoms. So anyway, famous last words, I'll wake up tomorrow and be dying. But I feel crummy right now, but like a moderate cold. I don't know. Anyway,
man, as long as Dr. Rogan gets back to you with some ivory, some testosterone.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is good, but weed, apparently weed and boner pills. That's the newest science.
Well, he sent me elk meat.
Oh, is that,
I don't know what,
did he really?
I don't know what that's going to do, but he sent me that and a bow and arrow. And he was like, take one bite and then go hunt your own elk. And I don't know.
It's a spiritual journey.
He said, I have to come out to Texas and he has to throw me in a triangle choke and that will squeeze the COVID out of me. He's the expert, not me. I don't know. Okay. So let's talk about a few things today. I will say that with everything that's been going on, I am a bit behind. So I forgive me for that. And I apologize for the interruption in our schedule this week. But well, I will work to catch us back on track, assuming I'm not too sick. This week we'll see what happens. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our brand new sponsor for today's show, Paint Your Life. This is all about making new memories in a new world, and the best way to hold on to those memories is by turning them into art that lasts forever. From paintyourlife.com, now that you can get out and travel and take vacations, people want to celebrate some of their favorite times by turning their new memories into art. Get professional hand-painted portraits created from any photo at a truly affordable price, or combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. It's a user-friendly platform that makes it easy to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's fast. You can receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks. Send any picture, yourself, your children, your family, a special place, someone you love who isn't around anymore, a cherished pet, even an action shot of you or your children playing your favorite sport. It makes the perfect birthday, anniversary, or wedding gifts, meaningful, personal, and can be cherished forever. I got to tell you, I literally just heard about this company as they just came on and became a sponsor. And I'm 100% going to do this because this is really cool. I'd love to have like a painting of my family together. And I know it's the type of thing that would literally just make my wife cry and be so happy if I got it for her. So I'm definitely going to get one of these and put them up in my living room. It's just a really cool idea, particularly if you have a family. I think this is the type of thing that people would really enjoy to do. This is a great thing for a husband to go grab and then give as a gift to his wife. This is the type of stuff they really like, in my experience. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refundable, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, you can get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word problem to 64,000. That's problem to 64,000. Text the word problem to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, all you do is text the word problem to 64,000. All right, let's get back into the show. But so let's see where to start. Joe Biden, not top scientist Joe Rogan, but the incompetent president, old guy, Joe Biden. He had a press conference today marking the 1 year anniversary of his presidency, which was you'd have to admit already a tough task going into, right? Like, how do you really spin?
Well, he's got to be awake for a full hour.
Yeah, well, that's already tough. That's already tough. And the topic is a rough one. Joe Biden's first year. I mean, the funny thing about it, right, is that the only real thing that you could point to be like a real something that he really should be proud of, that is a real victory, is his withdrawal from Afghanistan. And of course, he doesn't want to really do that because this is what the media hit him for and has just drilled into everyone's head, that the story there is the botched withdrawal. And I think there were elements of it that were a bit botched, like, but
they drove some kids on the way out.
Like, no, the worst part of it is that they continued the military presence in that one. That was by far the worst element of it. But in terms of just leaving, it's like they really tried to make the story that this was so horrible, even though there was never anything that really justified being that upset about it. Like, they're basically like, what a lot of people thought, what I thought, was that you would have a war for 2 or 3 years between the army that we propped up and the Taliban before the Taliban took the whole country. That was what I thought was going to happen going into it. It looks like the army that we were propping up realized that and went, fuck it. What's the point? We've been fighting for 20 years. We're just going to fight and die for another 2-3 years, and we're going to lose anyway. So let's just bail. And then it's like the corporate press has to be like, what a disaster that they didn't keep fighting them for another 2-3 years. From any sane person's perspective, I don't understand why. Okay, so there would have been more death and bloodshed, and then the Taliban probably wins anyway. So what, it's embarrassing that it reveals that the army we were propping up was a complete house of cards? Or so, okay. So what, is our embarrassment more important than people getting slaughtered for another few years? I just don't see it. And it's not as if there was like, it's not as if the Taliban took over and just started mass slaughtering everybody. It's like all
make
things
TikTok videos.
Yeah. All things considered, it was fine. And he ended the longest war in American history. That was a disaster that we never should have fought. So there's something there he could brag about, but that's politically like not feasible right now. So what has he got? What has he really got to talk about? Well, we got COVID under control. It's like, okay, well, if you did, then how can we still have all of the mandates and restrictions and insanity? As it goes, what are you going to talk about? Inflation? What are you going to talk about? The supply chain? Are you going to talk about what is it you're going to point to? And so it's kind of interesting to just what the situation is. So we got a little highlight video here. Let's play a little bit of what the president had to say.
Tomorrow will mark 1 year since I took office. It's been a year of challenges, but it's also been a year of enormous progress. But the best days of this country are still ahead of us, not behind us. Now, I'm happy to take questions.
Inflation is up. Your signature domestic legislation is stalled in Congress. In a few hours from now, the Senate, an effort in the Senate to deal with voting rights and voting reform legislation is going to fail. COVID-19 is still taking the lives of 1,500 Americans every day. And the nation's divisions are just as raw as they were a year ago. Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office?
I didn't overpromise, but I think if you take a look at what we've been able to do, you'd have to acknowledge we made enormous progress. But one of the things that I think is something that one thing I haven't been able to do so far is get my Republican friends to get in the game of making things better in this country.
Let's just pause it right there. How pathetic. Oh, how pathetic. I mean, like, even the question, you have to admit, at least they're like, the press does seem like they're like, well, look, we have to. I think what it is, honestly, here, is people might be wondering, like, why is this press that's been carrying Biden, you know, for so long, asking him kind of a tough question like that, clearly designed to that he's not going to look good at it, is that Biden's approval ratings are like so bad. And this is, if you trust their polls, I mean, he's like, he's so disliked, and so many people see what a terrible job he's doing that even they got to admit it. Otherwise, they just lose all, you know, whatever shred of credibility they have. So it's just so funny to see the question being like, inflation is up. COVID has only gotten worse. The, you know, tensions in the country are worse than ever. None of your bills have been able to pass. You got another one that's going to die right there. Did you overpromise? And he goes, well, I think you'd have to acknowledge that we made tremendous progress. He goes, but the one thing I really messed up in is just believing that these Republicans didn't hate America so much. Like, that's it. That's all he's got. I guess it's all their fault. It's all the other team's fault. Now, I mean, you know, the other team does suck, but geez, that's not a strong response. Yeah, Brian just said a 41% approval rating, they said, as of late January. That's very bad. It's very bad approval numbers. He's less popular than Donald Trump was, as Donald Trump was being vilified in from every major, you know, influential corner of the country.
And that's 41% of the people that will answer their phones.
Yeah.
I also, one of the things that I thought they kind of really got him on in a fun way was that one of his talking points was, hey, I'm going to unify the country. And so things like this aren't exactly unifying when you say, hey, the problem is just the other team. And that was something that the press did kind of hammer him on. And I just thought that was one thing that they really had him dead to rights on. It was fun just watching him get called on his bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, well, look, I mean, his Joe Biden really ran on kind of like this idea that get the serious adults in there, get COVID under control, unify the country and go back to normal, say, like that. And it all kind of stems from this same philosophy or the same outlook on where America had been for the last 4 years. And this is that great Michael Malice quote where he says, you know, the media acts like Trump is the river, but really he's the dam, which is, I think, a really interesting way of looking at it, that if you think Donald Trump was the cause of all of these problems, then of course the solution would be get rid of Trump. Then all of the problems go away. But if you recognize that Donald Trump was actually a reflection of the really deep-rooted problems, then getting rid of him does nothing. And I think what we've seen is that the latter's been proven true, that really this had nothing to do with Donald Trump, that the country was so furious because every institution had failed them for so long that they were willing to vote for the biggest middle finger in Donald Trump. But getting rid of that big middle finger is just, they just want to look for the next one. It's let's go Brandon now, you know, or whatever. It's like that had nothing to do with it. And all of the institutional problems still exist. So actually have gotten quite a bit worse. So that's kind of what you're seeing now. So what is, you know, in a way, it's like, like, yeah, of course he did overpromise. What is Joe Biden going to do? What government policy is going to get COVID under control? None. What government policy is going to unite the country? None. Except, you know, rolling everything back, perhaps, that which wouldn't necessarily unite us, but would at least let us not have to be at war with each other. Anyway, yeah. All right, let's keep playing.
You mentioned your Republican colleagues, but right now your top two legislative priorities, your social spending package and voting rights legislation, are stalled, blocked by your own party after months of negotiation. You are only guaranteed control of Washington for one more year before the midterms. Do you need to be more realistic and scale down these priorities in order to get something passed?
We knew all along that a lot of this was going to be an uphill fight. And one of the ways to do this is to make sure we make the contrast as clear as we can. And one of the things that I think is we're going to have to do is just make the case. I don't think there's anything unrealistic about what we're asking. I'm not asking for castles in the sky. I'm asking for practical things the American people have been asking for a long time.
Is there anything that you are confident you can get signed into law before?
It's I don't know what there's a few things there that I just find very interesting. First off, just sometimes Joe Biden has these like turn of phrases that I'm not asking for castles in the sky. It's just, I don't know what, like, was that a saying in the 30s or something? It's just a very Joe Biden thing to say. But isn't it something that they go, see, it's like even the media phrasing this, it's kind of like, are you asking for too much? You know, are you being too radical, or shouldn't you just have more of a moderate, like, you know, let's do less, not so much. But I don't really see that as being having anything to do with it. I mean, I don't think the issue is that Joe Biden is trying to do too much or something like that. It's just that what he's trying to do is enormously useless. And many of the things he's trying to do are just very unpopular. And so, you know, even as she said to him, like, can you imagine this? It's like the state of America today. And she goes, well, your two big priorities are this spending package and voting rights. Like, that they're just trying to convince you that that is the what's really going to address the problems in America today. That as if there are like these, like, we have to pretend that there are some type of major hurdles to voting. Like, we have to pretend that we're living in like Alabama in 1960 or something like that. And that there's these real, you know, like, there's major hurdles in the way for some groups to vote. Cause like, what, some of them might need to get an ID or something like that somewhere. That the other thing is, oh, what, we need another big spending bill, as if we've, over the last, you know, 2 years, we've had how many, 4 or 5 of the biggest spending bills in American history. But, oh, we just need one more of those. This is the big thing. Like, what would that do for anyone? What the last ones have done? What, send out a few crummy checks to American families while corporations get like trillions? Okay. Why isn't there mass popular support for these things? Maybe because they have nothing to do with anything. They're not like a serious proposal. So it's just really something to be like, this is your proposal. And then the press, their reaction is like, well, maybe you're asking for too much. Maybe that's the problem here. And I don't know. I don't see it that way.
I agree with you 100% that all these proposals are bad, and they should almost be attacking him on, hey, look how bad your ideas are, and this is why they don't have support. Since they like the idea of a functioning government and a president, like, they're more making fun of him. Hey, look at you, you're a loser.
You
can't even get these things through. Like, why should we have any faith in you if you're coming forward with ideas that you think can fix things and you can't even get them done? So that's kind of the criticism, is they're just being like, look at you, you're a fucking loser. You're saying that this is like, you've got good agendas, but you can't get them passed. So, like, what's the plan here?
Yeah. Well, look, I guess that is their attitude. It just seems so ridiculous to me. The whole thing seems, I don't know, crazy.
They should almost be like, hey, look at how lucky we are that no one's going for your terrible ideas. How many more terrible ideas are you going to try and push upon us?
Yeah.
Like, that would be the better angle, but that's not That's not their approach.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. This is an advertisement for fans 21 and over. I want to tell you about Fully Loaded Chew. This is for smokers and vapers. Now, nicotine, of course, is an addictive chemical, so I'm not telling anyone to just go try it. But if you're already addicted to the stuff like I am recommending you check out Fully Loaded Chew. Lifelong dippers, smokers, vapers, they're all switching to Fully Loaded Chew because it's the only chew with tobacco-free nicotine. Tobacco-free nicotine means you get less bad stuff and you still get what you're looking for, which is the nicotine. Fully Loaded's motto is save a lip, and they've got a full line of flavors. They have wintergreen, mint, bourbon, peach, and be sure to try the reformulated classic flavor. It's the closest to Copenhagen and tobacco-free. Fully Loaded Chew comes at different nicotine levels. There's the full strength, which is the same nicotine as any other chew. And if you're looking to cut back on your nicotine or wean yourself off nicotine, they have half strength and full flavor chew with no nicotine at all. So one more time, if you're a dipper, if you're smoking and vaping and you're looking to switch it up and be a little bit healthier and ultimately wean off and quit, go check out Fully Loaded Chew. The team at Gas and Fully Loaded Chew has worked out the best deal they could put together. It's a killer promotional offer for you. If you go to fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code GAS1, you're going to get a tin of Fully Loaded Chew or Drive-E for just $1 and free shipping on any purchase you make. One more time, fullyloadedchew.com, and the promo code is GAS1 for a free tin and free shipping. Check it out. Save a lip with Fully Loaded Chew. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's keep playing.
Is there anything that you are confident you can get signed into law before the midterm elections?
Yes, I'm confident we can get pieces, big chunks of the Build Back Better law signed into law.
Given how ineffective sanctions have been in deterring Putin in the past, why should the threat of new sanctions give him pause?
Well, because he's never seen sanctions like the ones I promised will be imposed if he moves.
The Senate minority
he
leader
paused.
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. That's like he took Trump's class and had it. We're going to give him you've never seen sanctions like this. The biggest sanctions.
Again, though, of course, it's like it's really it's unbelievable just how terrible the press is. Again, like you were saying, just like the questions they Hold on.
Right. You think they'd ask, well, what sanctions do we have that we have not used on Russia that would be so detrimental that he's like, you know what, I'm not going to take Ukraine.
Well, also, like, you would think perhaps the question would be, you know, you're threatening the worst sanctions ever on Russia. Like, why? Why is it that, like, why would we need to take this, like, you know, from what you're saying, this like unprecedented bold move of punishing Russia in a way that we've never done before over Ukraine? Why is that in our national interest? Why is that worth even the smallest risk of a serious conflict with a nuclear armed power? Why? Like that wouldn't that just basically be, I mean, if you're going to talk about these questions of war and peace, like wouldn't at some point it come up, be like, hey, if we're in any way, even possibly taking a step closer to war, can we make it very clear that this is not only in our interest? I love when they say that, like, is it in the American interest? As if like that's, you know, like that's a justification for war, that it's in our national interest. It's like, what? So if it's in our national interest, we could just go kill a bunch of people and take their shit. That really shouldn't be the standard, right? The standard should be that it's unavoidable, that we have no choice because our people will die if we don't do this. Like that's when a war is justified, when you are threatened or attacked, you know, and you're like, look, we have no other option. In the same sense that, like, it's like, you know, this is basic Rothbard shit, right? But like in the same sense, on an individual level, to a group level, to a bigger group level, a bigger group level, like, when are you justified in killing someone else? Well, it's pretty narrow. It's like when you have, there's nothing else you can do in order to stop yourself or someone else from being killed. Like that's when you're justified in killing someone, when it's in self-defense. And that's true on a national level too. And like, to just the idea that Russia, who hasn't taken Ukraine, but the idea that they might, you know, like the idea that they might be more aggressive with Ukraine, is a justification for us to even think about war with Russia, with a country that's got nothing else except nukes. They're no threat in any other way. They can't do any damage to the world in any other way except with their nuclear weapons. Aside from that, they're a puny little country, you know, economically speaking.
I think Putin's an old guy. He hasn't fully taken over or invaded a country. He's probably wants one before he dies. So just like Ukraine's an easy one. It's an obvious choice. It's right there. Oh. Not to mention, he didn't give us any shit when we took when we went into Afghanistan or Iraq. So, you know, we're up two. He should at least be allowed to take one.
Yeah, right, I guess. Well, I mean, I think it's like the idea of even talking about, you know, incorporating Ukraine into NATO and all of this stuff and all of the stuff that America's basically been doing since 1992 to the Soviet Union. It's like why is it that we need to provoke this country that is no threat to the world, that isn't an expansionist power, that is not like why do we care if a country that was once a part of the Soviet Union is back in,
I've always seen Russia's Ukraine control as a part of Russia. I didn't even know they really were different countries.
Yeah, we all found out together on Seinfeld when they played that game of Risk.
I think if Putin really wanted to make it interesting, he'd go take Taiwan.
Yeah, let them go fight it out for a while. Anyway, it's just, it's so crazy and so reckless that there's not like even like that there's no one in the press. I shouldn't say that because there is Tucker Carlson and I guess a couple other voices, but there's no one in that press corps there in the room who can ask, like, can you explain clearly why this makes sense? Like, you're just going to throw out this kind of like bravado talk, like, well, I'll give him the worst sanctions he's ever seen. He's never seen nothing like this. It's like, wait, well, why? Why would we need to do that? Isn't it something that Trump gets impeached over the Ukraine thing, you know, and asking the Ukrainians to like investigate the Bidens? But then just like Biden's up there just talking about like Ukraine is so important that it's worth going to war, and no one, that's not a thing. Forget impeachment. That doesn't even get like tough questions. Anyway. All right. Let's keep playing.
Well, I think we like the idea that no one can do anything in the world without our permission. And so we don't like the idea of other countries, you know, invading and taking other countries. But maybe we're not so powerful and threatening.
Yeah.
That's the part they don't like.
Well, right. And there's a couple aspects of that, right? Like, you're absolutely right. That's what I always call it. It's like the empire mentality that if there's a conflict, if there's a border dispute between two countries halfway across the world, well, that's our fight, obviously, which is insane because you're like, well, I mean, this is a guaranteed recipe to always be at war. Like, since when was the, as Scott Horn says, when was the middle portion of North America anointed by God as the policeman of the world, that if there's any conflict anywhere, it's got to be our, you know, sons who go over and die in it? You know what I mean? Like, why, who decided that? How is that practical or justified? But on top of that, it's like Russia hasn't invaded Ukraine. You know, like they've talked tough about them. But here is Joe Biden talking tough about fucking Russia. Like, I don't know. It's not even like this happened. And yet we still have to start beating like these war drums. And that's what sanctions are. I mean, they're war drums. Like, it is an act of war to impose sanctions on a country. And that's like if someone was imposing sanctions on one of our allies, like when there's just talk about sanctions on Israel, how fucking crazy people get. And so, like, I don't know. It's just like, without a thought, it's like, well, we'll make the people of that country suffer. Like, okay, what if that's your family who's going to be suffering over this? How would you feel about that?
Just change that gas laws and export more to Germany and let their currency fall a little because they're at war.
Or how about this? Like, and let Germany and Russia make the deals they want to do without trying to break it up. Like, that's, if you want to incorporate Russia into the Western world and, you know, like, again, like, look, free trade is probably the best anti-war policy out there. Let countries trade with each other. countries that trade with each other mutually benefit from the exchanges, and then they are both heavily disincentivized to go to war with each other because they know they'd be hurting themselves.
Why does Putin want to take Ukraine so much?
This isn't even the story. The story is that Putin doesn't want Ukraine to be part of NATO. That's the truth, because he doesn't want U.S. like military up to Russia's doorstep.
Right.
That's his big problem.
So he's like, if you're going to go NATO, then I'm going to just take the country.
This is all defensive in the same sense of like, look, if Russia was going to take over Mexico, how we would feel about that. This is basically them responding the way we responded to the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's like, no, it can't be right here. This is like their own mini puny version of the Monroe Doctrine. Like, they're like, Jesus Christ, we can't have you right up to our borders. That's all it is. And you know, whatever. It's all of this stuff. Scott's been great on this, but this is all 100% American provocation. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Grove Collaborative. It's still the beginning of a new year, and a new year means a fresh start and a chance to change the way you care for the planet. Now is the perfect time to make your home healthier, happier, and more sustainable. Discover everything you need for a sustainable home at Grove Collaborative. Grove carries hundreds of products aimed at replacing single-use plastics across your home and personal care routine. And by 2025, Grove will be 100% plastic free. Like Grove Co.'s concentrated cleaners and refillable glass bottles, they're friendlier on the planet and twice as effective as the leading natural brands. Switch to sustainable products for every room in your house, from laundry care to hand soaps and more. Grove Co. has you covered with safe formulas and refillable packaging that never compromise on performance. I'll tell you honestly, I've been using Grove Collaborative, and my main concern is not saving the planet. That's not really what I'm interested in. But I do really care about not having toxic stuff and a whole bunch of chemicals in my products in a house where I have two young children. So I think this stuff is great. I recommend you go check it out. Join the over 2 million households that are already shopping at Grove Collaborative. Go to grove.com/POTP today, and you'll get a free gift set worth up to $50 with your first order. Plus, shipping is fast and free. Get started right now at grove.com/POTP. That's grove.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. All right. Let's keep playing.
The Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that the midterm elections are going to be a report card on your progress on inflation, border security, and standing up to Russia. Do you think that that's a fair way to look at it?
I think report cards will look pretty good if that's where we're at. But look, the idea that Mitch has been very clear. He'd do anything to prevent Biden from being a success. I get on with Mitch. I actually like Mitch McConnell. We like one another, but he has one straightforward objective. Make sure that there's nothing I do that makes me look good in his mind. But think about it. Did you ever think that one man out of office could intimidate an entire party where they're unwilling to take any vote contrary to what he thinks should be taken for fear of being defeated in the primary?
Yet after we sit here for more than an hour, I'm not sure I've heard you say if you would do anything differently in the second year of your term. Do you plan to do anything differently?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go out and talk to the public. I'm going to do public fora.
Can you pause?
I'm going to enter.
This was my favorite part of the entire thing, because he came back to it a number of times where they go, hey, your entire thing's a disaster. What are you going to do? I'm going to work less and try and sell my non-working more. That doesn't actually solve anything. Hey, so, we've got a problem with inflation and supply issues. Well, I'm going to go convince people it's not a problem. Well,
I'm going to go out to the people and use my raw charisma and my public speaking ability. That'll really shift this whole thing around.
I'm going to convince a man. Once I get out there, I tell them my plans. They're going to like it.
They call me Smooth Jack. Get out there. Talk right to the people. Next thing you know, the girls are throwing their panties on stage. No one cares about inflation anymore. And what is the thing?
Touching the hair on my legs.
It's so funny, just like when they're like this like world that they live. I don't even think they live in this world. I think it's just this is how they sell it. They're like, look, they don't really have anything that excites their base or unites their base other than they really hated this Trump guy. You know, like they got that. Is that remember Trump? Remember how much you fucking hated him? Like that's and so doing this thing where have you ever seen one person out of office who still has complete control over the party and still intimidates them all into voting the way he wants to vote? It's like, yeah, that is pretty wild. You know, it's nothing to do with reality. There's what are you talking about? Like what evidence is there of that? Donald Trump couldn't even control the Republican parties when he was the sitting president of the United States. He had like three loyalists in the Republican Party. Like what are you talking about? It's like the Republicans are basically doing what they always do when there's a Democrat in the White House. It's just so bizarre to see, you know, it's like what they do, what they always do, right? They pose as obstructionists, you know, they make a big fuss about how they're going to investigate this. They're going to investigate that. We could get into that in a little bit. And then they continue, you know, and they back down when it really matters. You know, oh, the debt ceiling's, you know, coming up. Okay, well, we better vote for a big spending package or whatever. You know, they're doing what they always do. That's it. It's just also, it's such a concocted, like, narrative that what's really going on here, you see people, it's still Trump. And that's why you got to be just as excited and enthusiastic. You understand, like, what the strategy is here, right? Is like, what could actually get people to turn out for Joe Biden or support Joe Biden? Well, the only thing is because they hated Trump. So, okay, you still hate Trump because he's really still here. I'm telling you, he's right behind you. He's underneath your bed at night. You better still support me or he's coming back. So funny to say. Yeah. All right.
And go ahead. He was not out there because the more he's out there, the more dumb shit he says, the more people realize he's incompetent. So it's just twofold stupidity. One, they're saying, hey, we're having issues. And he goes, well, I just got to go sell when I'm doing more. Well, that doesn't actually fix any of the issues.
Right.
And two is I'm pretty sure the more time you spend in front of people, the less confidence they'll have in you.
Yeah. I mean, man, if this is the solution here is for Joe Biden to just get out there more, than, yeah, you guys have done this all wrong. Why has he been the most hidden presidential candidate and president in my life? Like that, woo, that was we really needed you out there all the time. It seems like your team doesn't really think you should be out there so much. So
Biden season anyway. 2, busting out of the basement.
Oh shit.
I'm gonna go out and talk to the public. I'm gonna do public fora. I'm going to interface with them. I'm going to make the case of what we've already done, why it's important, and what we'll do if what will happen if they support what else I want to do. Number two, I'm bringing in more and more now that I have time. I mean, literally, like you, it's I'm not complaining. It's, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. No complaints. I really mean it sincerely. The third thing that I'm going to be doing a lot more of is being in a situation where I'm able to bring, I'm going to be deeply involved in these off-year elections. Folks, it is now almost 6. With all due respect, I'm going to see you next conference, okay? Thank you.
Yes, it's now almost, holy crap, 6 p.m. Yo, this is way past my bedtime. I got to get out of here. So, I mean, look, it was 2 hours of that. But that does kind of sum up. I mean, I didn't watch that much of it. I maybe caught like 40 minutes of it, but that pretty much sums up the tone of the whole thing. It's I'll tell you what I like about this. What I like about Joe Biden being president is that it's very transparent. You know, he's transparently weak and incompetent. And I just don't see how anyone could look at this and actually be inspired to believe like this guy's got things under control. This guy's someone I got to get behind. And I like that. I think that's good. I think that's better than a president like Obama or something like that, where he might more likely be able to convince some people that, oh, yeah, this is really a guy who knows what he's doing. So That's better. It's more dangerous when they're able to convince people of that, because then they can sell them on, you know, doing something, which when the government does something is almost always something horrifically evil and terrifyingly dangerous. So anyway, any final thoughts on the press conference, Rob?
No, I wish it was funner to watch. I think I watched like about 40 minutes of his speech and then the questions and answers, and didn't get too testy.
Yeah. No, I think that we might have seen mostly the kind of testiest moments. Okay, what else was there that we wanted to talk about before we wrap up? Of course, the UK.
Yes.
So pretty huge announcement today that the UK is, at least they say, they're done.
I think Boris Johnson's official statement was, "Ah, shit, you caught me. I'll give you your freedom back."
Yeah, no, that really was it. They said they're ending all of the vaccine mandates, all of the vaccine requirements, all of the mask mandates, everything, that the government is just getting out of the COVID business, and that private businesses can do what they want to do, but they're not going to be forced by the government anymore. And I will say that, you know, that is great. However it came about, probably, as you said, is related to Boris Johnson getting caught and all of that. The timing certainly seems to be there. But however it happened, that really is fantastic. This is, you know, now we have not just some states in America, but there is one Western nation who has called it quits. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to be like overly, you know, celebratory of that, but that is something. And it is at least a little bit of juice, I think, to, you know, stay optimistic and white pilled, you know, for all, think about your most pessimistic, voices that you hear on the COVID stuff being like, it's impossible to ever roll this back. It's like, well, okay, here's one example of a country who did it. So don't think it can't happen. I wish our country was trending more in that direction. So who knows exactly what it's going to take, but hey, at least good for that. The UK, They're beating us to it.
Well, I think usually the UK and the US kind of work in propaganda in tandem. And yeah. So it's very difficult when you can't look at them and go, hey, they're dumb or unsophisticated, because they kind of do everything in coordination with us.
Yeah, they're debatably our closest ally, certainly one of our closest allies, top two, you know.
Right. So when they're rocking a different strategy, unless it turns to shit, which it won't, it's going to be more difficult for us to defend our strategy over here. And it happened because Boris Johnson got busted. Boris Johnson got busted in hilarious fashion, because I think his version of a press secretary was goofing around as if they were doing a press conference and someone had asked her about the party. And somehow that tape got leaked. I think I don't think they're going to keep this story under wraps forever. I think as you see a little bit more pressure on Fauci, I think this story is going to unravel about how badly they've lied to everyone. I don't think everything's going to come to light. I don't think I'm going to get my dream of an actual Fauci trial, but I just think enough's going to come out with enough not working that they're going to have to just go, oh yeah, it's not as deadly. Oh yeah, everyone can get back to life. All right, we're recommending you just treat it like a cold. Hey, there's a new variant, and even though everyone's getting the old variants, we're going to save that because of the new variants. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, let them just find. I don't even care at this point, because I just, what I want is basic freedoms back. So it's like whatever justification you guys got to use, like throw it out there. I mean, I'm with you. I'd like to see people, you know, tried and prosecuted and also, and all this stuff, but.
I also think when things are unknown, they're a lot scarier. Like, I don't know if you ever like played poker. The guy who just sits there and doesn't say a fucking word, so you have no flavor for his personality, is way scarier than the guy who's yelling the whole time, or like a guy, because then like at least you kind of understand who they are, where they're coming from. There were some people that never experienced corona, didn't know people that experienced corona, and it was scary as all hell. When all of a sudden the people that you know who were unvaccinated got just as sick as the people that were vaccinated, and they both seem to have survived and not ended up in the hospital. And like I pointed out, there's a ratio of how many per 100,000 starts being, oh, I know someone that died of this. Yeah. Most of us don't know people that died of this. I don't personally know anyone who's died. I might know a third hand person, right? But it's hard to pretend like there's a pandemic when after 2 years, I don't personally know someone that's died of it. I don't know multiple people also, that have died of it.
It's hard, right? So there's that. And then the other aspect of it is that we all know so many people who have had it.
Right. And now it's known because you've experienced it.
So many people have had it. And so when you get to this, and this is why I said a while ago that I think Omicron has the potential to do what our show and Tom Wood's charts and like all these great things and, you know, Berenson and all these great people, what none of them could do. And that's not to discount what all those guys are doing. I think it's all important work. But what this can do is that it's very, when people see with their own eyes that their vaccinated and boosted friend and their unvaccinated friend both got it at the exact same party and both had the exact same mild symptoms. I mean, when you start seeing that over and over again, it's very hard. It's very hard to put that toothpaste back in the tube. And you saw this already. This has happened a lot with people since they got vaccinated. You could see where at the very beginning of the vaccine rollout, it was like, it was kind of an easy, you know, pitch, at least to some people, that, you know, it was like, well, look, we got these vaccines. All the experts are saying they're good. And look, this pandemic has made you overhaul all of life. So wouldn't you take this and you can get right back to life? You can get right back to life now. And then people get the vaccines and then they're like, oh, actually, you can't get back to life. You got to live exactly the same way. Sorry. And they're kind of like, whoa, what the fuck? And then that person gets COVID. I mean, imagine what that does to you. You're like, wait a minute. So not only did you lie to me about me being able to go back to life, but you also lied to me that I wouldn't get COVID. So not only could I not do that, I still got the damn thing. You know, there's a lot of people in this camp, but now because of Omicron, there's a lot more.
And then once you get it, you're good for at least 6 months. And like I said, it gets better each time.
Yeah.
Well, at least in my experience, I don't know. Maybe all of you will get it and just die. I'm not a doctor. Speak to Rogan. Get his number from Dave.
I'm not a doctor either, but I have access to the best one in the country. All right. Look, we're going to wrap on that one.
Wait, before we end the show, check out Run Your Mouth, built out the new studio. Going to be doing some fun stuff. And I'm up in Buffalo this weekend with Sam Tripoli. And I got some more dates coming soon.
All right. Well, there we go. There's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Peace.